show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome into the show on kind of a cloudy, overcast Tuesday in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope that you enjoyed a great Memorial Day weekend and that you're safe and sound. And hopefully we may be getting sports back into our lives in the near future. With that in mind, the NHL is holding, I don't know if you'd call it a press conference, but Gary Bettman is going to make some announcements at 3:30 that I don't believe is necessarily to say, hey, we're playing and we're playing starting on this date. But let me check in real quickly with Jack Gentry, get him on right at the beginning. Jack, you were the one that clued me in on this. So what are you hearing that Bettman may say today?
Yeah, so it's going to be an announcement at 3:30 Central Time, and Bettman's going to be on NBCSN to make an announcement. Now, it's not an announcement of, hey, we're starting back this date, and it's a full go from there. It's not that way. Today is the announcement of the format, the 24-team format the NHL and NHLPA have both agreed to. Along with that announcement, there will be NHL draft and NHL draft lottery updates and how the format for that will work. But there's still some hurdles to jump over, as Pierre LeBrun said on Twitter, NHL Insider, that they'll have to overcome. And those negotiations, that process will be worked out here, hopefully, in the near future.
Jack, they do seem like the leader in the clubhouse as far as, you know, as you try to gauge percentages and who looks like the best shot to come back right now, you'd have to say it's the NHL.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, this is the first league where the commissioner is going to make this whole announcement of the plan that they have in place ready to go, and they're still formulating some of these details to go along with it. But yeah, it does look like it will be the first sport that we see return, which is a little surprising considering that we didn't really give much of a shot to those sports like the NHL and the NBA who play indoors.
No, I had ruled them out about a month ago, but I've been on a roller coaster of I'm right one day, I'm wrong for a week, then I get it right for a day. Who knows? But this is at least some encouraging news, and we will carry the press conference or whatever it is you want to call it when Commissioner Bettman makes all these announcements today at 3:30, and we will carry those live here on WNSR. Jack, appreciate the update.
No problem, guys.
Jack Gentry reporting live from a studio near you. Let's say hello real quickly to Coach Watson Brown, who joins us from up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm doing great. Had a great weekend. If we can just get the rain to stop, it'll be pretty nice, huh?
Is it raining up there?
Has been a little bit, off and on. Not
yeah.
Right at this moment. But we've had our share in Cookeville, Tennessee, I'll tell you that.
Over the weekend, right around 4 o'clock, it was like clockwork. All of a sudden, the big stuff would start rolling in. I would guess, you know, now that I think about it, it was Sunday and Monday that happened. Sunday, we pretty much dodged it. Yesterday, we had huge winds again, which we don't necessarily need here. So there appears to be at least a pattern around 4 o'clock. You might want to check and see what's going on outside.
I'd say that you might want to stay inside about 4, George. You've had enough wind and rain for your beautiful yard that you've got now. So let's hope and pray you've had enough of that.
It does look good, and thank you for bringing that up. let's Let's head up north to Westmoreland, Tennessee. Terry McCormick, how are you?
I'm doing okay, George. How are you?
Good. You have a big weekend?
Not really. We cleaned out the bonus room and did unfun things like that.
The bonus room. What did we find in the bonus room? Any dead bodies?
No dead bodies. Just a bunch of old stuff that now has either been boxed up and put away or tossed out.
Yeah. Okay. Did you watch the golf match?
I watched some of it, yes. It was relatively entertaining.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little more in a few minutes. Because my guess is that all three of us may have seen a little bit of it. Have you all heard the latest news? Watson, have you heard the latest on Michael Jordan?
What latest? Every day it seems to pop up something else. What's this one? Is this the one on Isaiah Thomas?
Yes, it seems as though he may not have told the truth in the Last Dance stuff, because old audio of Michael Jordan has surfaced in which he told NBA executive Rod Thorne, who was part of the USA Basketball Selection Committee, that he wouldn't play on the Dream Team if Isaiah Thomas was also selected. And apparently there was a reporter, Terry Jack McCollum, who found this stuff and then aired it on his podcast called The Dream Team Tapes. And then in this stuff, Jordan is heard saying in the old interview, Thorne assured me, he said, you know what? Chuck, who I'm guessing is Charles Barkley, doesn't want Isaiah, so Isaiah is not going to be a part of the team. But as we know on the documentary, he basically said he had nothing to do with Isaiah's stuff. This does not make Michael look good.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think everyone knew that there was a rift between Jordan and Thomas, and you know, and from the way it was made and portrayed on the Last Dance, it seemed that several players had issues with Isaiah Thomas. I think there was a talk of that he and Magic Johnson had a falling out. I think there was Barkley. Seems like there was maybe one more that had an issue with him. Was it Larry Bird? I can't remember who it was. But anyway, it sounds like it was a situation where Isaiah Thomas didn't exactly win friends and influence people, and that Jordan was part of that.
Watson, the Dream Team, it sounds great, but it doesn't sound like they all loved each other.
But I was really proud of just putting them together, and there weren't major issues, George, during the time. Now, that's hard to do now. You've got the best players in the world, and that's some egos involved right there. So I thought it was handled well, but now we're starting to see some things that happen. But really, this deal sounds to me like Michael kind of passed the buck, and it's obvious he didn't completely tell the truth, but there were a lot of people that didn't want Isaiah on the team, and Michael tried to put it off, I think, in the Last dances. I didn't have to be the one to do that. That Charles Barkley, I guess it was Charles Barkley who he was talking about, that other people had already said something about it, but that's not good. That's not good at all, and I'm very surprised Mike would do that, George, and knowing there's tapes out there.
Yeah.
He knew that he had to have said that publicly back before.
Here's another story that you might be interested in. XFL owner Vince McMahon said today in bankruptcy court that he will not attempt to buy back the league. In a court filing, McMahon called the accusations that he was secretly maneuvering to use Chapter 11 as an avenue to cheaply retain the XFL, quote, inflammatory and unsubstantiated. The XFL filed for bankruptcy on April 13th. McMahon then put the league up for sale, but the court's Committee of Unsecured Creditors claimed last week that McMahon had set up a fire sale bidding process that would rig the process in a way that would allow him to buy back the XFL without repaying its debts. Watson, I do think that the show should step up and buy the league and then put the teams in the cities that we put together several months ago.
George, we just need to start getting our money together, buddy, because everybody else has tried it. That is the only way it's got a shot. There's been way too many tries through these professional towns and the big cities and all that. You're dead on. I'm not sure it'll work anyway. The way this country is set up, and we've always felt like football was a fall sport, and I just don't know if it will, but you're dead on. I agree with you 100% back when we put those cities together. That's the only way I see it ever happening.
Before the show, I got basically some financial statements from each of you, and we're prepared to buy a concession stand in Valdosta, Georgia. Just thought I'd pass that on.
On credit, though, correct? On
credit. Well, I think that's part of the deal. And then this one has gotten out. MLB and the Players Association, now in their third week of talks concerning trying to get the game back going. On Tuesday, that would be today, the owners reportedly approved a proposal that will now be shipped to the union. Although their originally rumored intent was to put a 50-50 revenue sharing plan on the table, the owners instead are said to have asked the players to sign off on a, quote, sliding scale of compensation that would trim the salaries of players set to make the most money in 2020. This appears to me, Terry, to maybe do a couple of things. Number one, to try to get a deal done, but also to focus the entire blame on the players if they say no.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I think there was a couple of things that surfaced over the weekend. One was Chipper Jones saying how bad the players are going to look if there is no season. And then there's sort of been some, talk here and there that the owners and players are both going to be looking really bad if they can't come to an agreement given the situation that the country finds itself in. And I think neither one of them want that look. So I think there's probably going to be some serious bargaining going on this week to see if they can salvage something.
That's exactly what I think. And, you know, I'm hopeful. I want to be hopeful. I want to be hopeful, and I want to believe that this is the week that this is either going to happen or it's going to die. Because pretty soon, if baseball, Watson, is going to get any kind of spring training by no later than, I don't know, June the 5th or so, they got to have something done.
George, if they don't get something done, shame on both of them, the owners and the players. I mean, our whole country is struggling. 30 million people without furloughed or without jobs or lost jobs completely, whatever. Come on, guys. Go to work. Do your job. Give the country what it needs right now. This country needs baseball in the worst way. And I'm just very disappointed that it's taken this long. I guess I understand it, but I'm disappointed. But come on, let's get together, do something, come up with something, even temporary. I don't care what it is. But let's don't let this season go because you all couldn't get together. Gracious.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
No.
Did you all see, Terry, I don't know if you saw this, Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, says he is 100% certain the NFL regular season will go on as planned. The real question, he says, is will there be fans in the stadium?
That's interesting. I mean, you know, it's going to be very interesting when you look at that proposal, because the thing of it is, and Watson knows this very well too, football is the most contact of any of the sports that are out there trying to get back. Much more so than any of the other three except maybe hockey. And, you know, I think, you know, if they can get back without fans in the stands, I think the biggest thing is going to be how do they resolve the contact issue among the players, because that happens so often on each and every play.
Yeah, this isn't
George,
flag
I don't
football.
Think, Terry, I don't think that they're going to worry with that. They got to go and do it. They'll back it off in practice a little, but they're going to test them. And they're going to say if he hasn't tested positive, then there can be contact because neither one of them are positive people. That's what they're going to rely on. What I'm scared about in football, NFL, college football, is both have to rely on testing guys. If there's kids start testing positive after we get them back, how far are they going to let that go before they shut it down like they had to do basketball? They're going to go with it. They're going to give this a shot. There's no doubt in my mind. The only thing that will keep it from going is positive tests between coaches, managers, trainers, and players. And let's hope and pray it doesn't, because if it does, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to shut – think about this. Let's say the quarterbacks meet together in a room with their coach. They're at social distance, but they're in a room with their coach. One of the quarterbacks tests positive. Are they going to quarantine the rest of those quarterbacks? You wouldn't even have one to play. I mean, there's little things that I think about after they get back. I think college football and the NFL are going to be back. But what happens if? It's a big if that scares me to death.
It's a huge if.
No doubt.
So let me kind of tell everybody a little of what we've got going on today. After the break, we're going to talk about a made-for-TV event, the golf match over the weekend, that I think was pretty darn good, all things considered, and was very entertaining. Then at 2:40, MTSU Athletic Director Chris Massaro will join us. We'll find out what's going on in the Group of Five world, which is where MTSU sits as a member of Conference USA. At 3:05 today, we'll meet with the new athletic director, newly named at Vanderbilt, Candace Lee. And then at 3:30, we will attempt to carry Gary Bettman's press briefing, press conference, whatever you want to call it. He's going to lay out what we think we already know, which is that the league is going to go to a 2014 playoff, but I felt like it was important enough to let you all hear this, and we will carry it live here on WNSR at 3:30. So we'll go to the break, and then we'll talk about the rabbit that Tom Brady pulled out of the hat from the fairway in that match on Sunday. It was a magic moment. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look, and I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Welcome, Angie McCartney.
When he'd come home, Jim would say to him, "How are your bowels, sonny? You eating stuff?" And he'd go, "Dad, you know, I'm a beagle. You don't ask me about my bowels." Oh, it's not that funny. Come on.
We didn't expect to be talking about Paul's bowels this morning.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
The man, the myth, the legend, the Plaz. The George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
It is 2:24. Hope all of you had a great Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to take a phone call before we do anything else. Ryan down in Spring Hill, Tennessee is with us. Ryan, what's going on?
George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Man, you're talking baseball. Sometimes baseball, their marketing department is sometimes not great. And, you know, was it last year? I think they had opening day like 2 weeks early in Japan or something. They like the A's versus, I mean, and just the way they market it to the younger generation. You have an opportunity as Major League Baseball to be the only show, the only game in town. You can be the knight riding in to save the day. I mean, you can be unbelievable, healing for the country. You have a moment to really shine and bring the country together, and you're the only show in town. I mean, if I'm Major League Baseball, what I try to get done is we are going to start Major League Baseball the week before 4th of July. We're going to start it in Dodger Stadium with the All-Star Game. We're going to start it with the All-Star Game. I'm going to just have the All-Stars from last year's game be the All-Stars in this one, except for the Houston Astros. That's part of their punishment. If you're on that team, you don't get to come, and we're going to make a statement about that. And I shortened the season to literally like 60 games, where you're not risking getting into October and all these people saying, "Oh, there's going to be a second wave and all this stuff." No, you're done by the end of September. World Series, everything, and it's a shortened, condensed season. One of my favorite basketball NBA seasons was the 50-game strike shortened season. Every game counted. You know, a lot of times in the NBA, I mean, you can lose 10 of your first 15 games and you still got a shot. You know, this one, I mean, it started off, you had to come out of the gates, and I feel like baseball would be that way. It would be such a shot in the arm. I think you'd get young people, young adults, and you could be the hero that saves the day if they will just get their act together between the players, the owners, even if it takes doing a special one-year contract. I know that's all crazy. I know. 60-game contract. They just have an opportunity like no other, and I hope they don't mess it up. I hope they don't mess it up.
Man, you are speaking to the choir. Ryan, I appoint you commissioner.
Oh, they couldn't pay me enough, George. Couldn't pay me enough. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, thank you for calling. By the way, if anybody else wants to chime in on this, feel free to at 844 5,600. Terry, what I'm hearing is initially they had settled on an 80-82 game schedule that would begin, I believe I've got this right on the calendar, Friday, July the 3rd, you know, to take advantage of the July 4th weekend. What I'm hearing now is to get the players more money, that in this proposal that they're sending them, that it's probably a 100-game schedule, likely to run to about mid-October and then get into the postseason.
That's interesting because, you know, they've talked about playing in stadiums, you know, even without fans and all. But once you start getting into late October, and we've seen it with the World Series, and if you're going to go into November with your postseason, you know, they're going to have maybe some contingencies, because places like New York and Chicago and Detroit can be pretty unforgiving at that time of year.
So, Watson, let me throw this out. If that were to be the case, and you're not going to have fans in the stands, and you're going to play a longer schedule, why not just move it out to Arizona for a one-year, what's the word I'm looking for? No home field advantage, neutral site World Series.
I don't think the players want it. I don't think they want to be away from their families and stuck in a hotel every day of their life for the rest of the baseball season.
No, I'm saying just simply for the World Series. In other words, when you get to massively cold weather.
Yeah, now that's possible. I thought you meant still go with it as the way that was originally thought. I really believe by then that there will be a great chance there will be fans in the stands, because football is going to be the guinea pig. And they're going to go with half-full stadiums in college, the way I understand it. And the NFL, I don't know yet. They haven't really said. But if that goes in September and October, George, I think you're going to, October, November at the latest, they're going to start putting fans in the stands in baseball. Maybe even before that. That's what I think they're thinking. We'll start with no fans in the stands, but we'll let football be the guinea pig here, and if it works, then we'll start slowly putting our guys in. I like that thought of just playing half a season. I like that thought myself, and keep the World Series at the same date and go with it as is. 60 games, 80 games. I don't know.
It's a sprint.
They'll make that big a difference, and I know it's money for the players, and that's why they'll keep trying to put more games into it. George, again, nobody wants to lose money or not make the money you thought you were going to make. But these baseball players need to understand, and owners, the whole country's going through that, man. I mean, yeah. We're all dealing with that. It's like they think they're better, and they should not lose money because they don't get to play as many games. I don't know. It crawls all over me. I don't understand it.
Terry, here's one thing I do know. If they were to come back, you better have a good bullpen.
Yeah, I would think so, because I think, you know, one of the things that we talked about with Danny before in all this is they're going to need extra players, because I don't know that the pitchers are really going to be ready the way a lot of people think. And, you know, Danny said that, you know, it takes pitchers much longer to get in the groove than it does hitters. So you better have a good bullpen, and you better have a lot of arms.
So, Watson, I'm not sure I planned it this way, but in real quick fashion, did you watch the golf match?
Some. I was driving back from Alabama. I did see some, yeah.
I really give it high marks that TNT pulled it off, and I thought they did a really good job of allowing us to get the audio of these guys going back and forth at each other.
Absolutely. That was the neat part about it. And the one thing I sit there in a couple of holes that I got to see, I saw Brady's shot on highlights. I didn't see it at live.
I saw it live.
One thing that you immediately see, George, there is a difference in the professional in his sport and another guy playing that sport in there. I mean, it's unbelievable, the differences.
You know, and on certain shots, now, they never looked like me.
No,
we're not going there. But you do find out that there is a level between golf greatness and football greatness.
And vice versa.
Yeah, and it can be. Yeah, I mean, look, Tiger Woods not going to be a great quarterback. Nope. Mickelson, I don't see him, you know, doing well in an NFL uniform. But vice versa. And Terry, I don't know what you saw. I thought Peyton and Brady did just fine.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, there were a couple times where they put the ball right in the fairway, you know, and the shot looked really good. You go, hey, that's not bad at all. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the goals that the pros had was they wanted to be able to use the quarterback's tee shots a lot if they could. That way, with the approach shots and things like that, they had the distinct advantage rather than having to use their tee shot and then having to use Peyton or Brady's approach shot.
I don't think, Watson, this is the last time we've seen one of these, because it looks like it's fairly easy to put on.
And look at the money it raised. So, no, just dollars alone, big boy, that won't be the last time you see that.
Yeah.
They'll hit other sports and do it with golf the same way. Golf's the one sport you can do that with. You can't really do it in tennis. You can, but it's not the same. And then the football, basketball, all that. The only way you could do basketball possibly would be a three-point shooting contest or a horse contest, but it's not the same. I don't think it's the same. Did you see where Tiger had made the statement on what athletes in other sports he thought could be professional golfers? Did you see the two names?
No. Who did he say? I'm going to guess one of them's John Smoltz.
John Smoltz, and both he said would have to compete on the senior tour. They would not be good enough to ever compete on the regular tour. It was John Smoltz and Tony Romo. And he said, Tony, give him 10 years and he may be able to do it. He said the swing speed of those two guys does match the golf pro swing speed, but they don't have the other skills that they could make a living on that. But that's the only two men that he said that play other sports that he's seen that could be good enough. And both of them senior tour guys, not regular tour guys.
Terry, before we go to the break, I would so encourage Major League Baseball, if they're going to come back, if it were to happen and players are not going to be sitting in the dugout, they need to allow the ability to mic up a player while his team is at bat and while he's not doing anything and talk to him.
Yeah, I think that would be really good. I think we saw that in the chatter and the banter back and forth at the golf event over the weekend, and I think that would be really good. You know, I mean, the perfect guy to do it would be a starting pitcher who's not going to pitch that day. You know,
you're
a guy
right.
That's just there in the dugout to, you know, chart pitches or, you know, wait for his turn to pitch in a couple of days.
Tony in Nolensville, I've only got about a minute and a half, so do your best.
All I need, George. Hello, gentlemen. George, today in footballscoop.com, there's an article out there wrote by a gentleman named Zach Barnett. And with you bringing up the AD from Middle, I thought you'd be interested in this. There is some talk from Arkansas State's AD. They tweeted out that they think that everybody should start looking and evaluating all G5 programs in their footprint, and that they might even think about regional alignment needs among the conferences of Conference USA and the Sun Belt and all of that. And also the commissioner of the USA commissioner, she come out and spoke. I guess it's her name was Judy McLeod. And she also came out and said that we might have to start looking at the footprint of merging with some other conferences and start eliminating, because of the budget crisis and all, start eliminating a lot of the travel and seeing how they can maybe cut down on some of that stuff. I thought that'd be interesting. You might want to bring that up.
Listen, thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Great show. Have a great one, guys.
Thank you. I know we got to go to the break. MTSU Athletic Director Chris Massaro will join us when we come back. You're listening to WNSR.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-478-0480. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-478-0480. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
Through this difficult and challenging time, Brinkman's Wine and Spirits remains committed to serving you. Whether it's curbside, inside, or homeside with delivery, Brinkman's is still available for all your wine and spirits needs. You can stop by and have your order brought to your car, or you can still come in and browse. Also, for orders of $50 or more, they will deliver to your home as well. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's remains dedicated to making you feel welcomed and appreciated with their passion for personal service. Whether picking up a bottle of wine for dinner or celebrating a special occasion, or even looking for help to restock your bar at home, they're there for all your needs, from whiskey to vodka, champagne to cabernets. Don't forget to like their Facebook page at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays by appointment. Located at the Brentwood House Shopping Plaza at 127 Franklin Road by Baskin Robbins and Honey Baked Ham. Inside, curbside, homeside. Shop local, shop Brinkman's.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Want to tell you about my friends at Conard Logistics. They're a Vietnam veteran-owned business who began during deregulation. They've lasted through the Great Recession, 9/11, the Gulf War, and the war in Afghanistan. And they'll be here to serve you after the pandemic. We encourage you to please use recommendations by our health advisors. Again, this is a message from Conard Logistics.
It's a Bill King Show.
College football just loves to tinker with things that aren't broken. I don't get it. And of course, anytime these folks are interviewed by the media does not have the horsepower to question it, or they're just mind-numbed robots and they won't question it because they can't think through. I don't know what it is.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
He's live. He's local. He's George Plaster. The George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
2:42 is the time, and this would not be a time I would want to be an athletic director. The amount of problems that they are dealing with, whether it's a Power Five, a Group of Five, whatever, are enormous as you try to gauge a moving target, where in truth, nobody really has the answers. So with that in mind, we bring MTSU Athletic Director Chris Massaro to our microphones. Chris, thank you for taking the time to do this.
Sure, George. It's always my pleasure to bring no answers.
Oh, I'm going to let that one go.
I've got the perfect guy. The guy with no answers is my next guest.
I got a great line, but I'm not going to use it. tell people what kind of stuff you're having to deal with as a group of five athletic director.
Hey, what's going on? Well, I don't think really what we're dealing with is separated much by your category. You know, whether it's Division II, Group of Five, Power Five, whatever label it is, because the number one question is how can you safely reintroduce sports back amidst a pandemic? And so that's what everybody's really wrestling with, and it doesn't matter what level you are, and the NBA, the NHL, the whatever. We're all wrestling with that question, and so with that question becomes a lot of unknowns, like what will testing look like in the fall? Will it be more available? And they're talking about having the ability to do bulk testing where you could test 50 people at one time. And so obviously that helps when you're talking about testing football teams and officials and all those kind of things. And what's the turnaround time? Can you do it on Thursday before you ever leave campus? Do you know on Friday before you get on an airplane or a bus that everybody's tested negative for COVID-19? So you can be assured of somewhat of a non-infected game out there on the field. And so the turnaround times and the quality of tests that you just don't know. Like, will we have to really test on Tuesday so we have results back on Friday before we leave? All those kind of things. So that's what we're trying to line up. So now what we've done, George, is we've kind of gotten past the big questions, and now we're kind of mining down into the smaller detail, which is a good thing because we still have like 90 days to sort this thing out.
I want to let each one of us, Watson and Terry, get a question in. Watson, go ahead with Chris Massaro.
Chris, I've got two quick ones, and the first one a little longer. I was reading the article where different universities and what the universities basically put into the athletic departments, and I dealt with this at UAB. It was one of the reasons that they were trying to do away with football back when I was there as the coach and the AD. It said Central Florida student fees $23 million that goes to athletics and another $7 million that comes from the university. $30 million from the university into their athletic programs. What scares me, where I see the difference in the Power Fives and on down, is if the enrollments are down, which they very well could be, or if universities don't even open, or that money disappears fast because it all comes off of the number of students that you have. As an athletic director, how in the world do you deal with that?
Well, we're all kind of built on a house of cards financially a little bit, Watson, don't you think? That because the Power Five, the Economy Five, have the same sort of resources wrapped up with huge debt in terms of facilities and some of the revenues that they're expecting off their premium areas and those kind of things. So if that doesn't happen, it becomes a real problem for them. For us, you hit the nail on the head. The most important figure I'm probably going to have this fall is our school enrollment. You know, and if it takes a 20% dip or a 10% dip, then my student fees dip that much. And so we're not really built on that kind of decline in enrollment. You know, sometimes you have variations each year from up or down 2%, those kind of things. And so your adjustments aren't that severe, but nobody's been through the pandemic. No one knows what enrollment will look like. So to me, that's probably my number one number is what's our fall enrollment going to look like for MTSU?
Yeah, and I think that would be what would scare me, Chris, and then I'll ask you the second thing. But what would scare me with that is a lot of these families with head of the household furloughed, and, you know, they may just say, well, let's just let him take one semester off and we'll put him back in school or she back in school in January. And with the universities, a lot of the universities even not even being able to say they're open yet, that that also hurts for somebody enrolling into school or applying or somebody coming back too.
Yeah, and in typical downtimes in the economy, sometimes higher ed gets a little bit of a bump, because if you can't get a job, you go to school to try to make yourself more marketable. But nobody's really been through the pandemic before, you know, and so it's anybody's best guess what happens kind of in bad economic times. So I think those are very valid worries. That does concern me, that, you know, let's just take my gap year, you know, and not do it. And so it really cuts to the heart. And my message to our fans and to any fan of college sports, whether you're Austin Peay, whether you're the University of Tennessee, if you love college sports and you love your university, now's the time to sit down. And if you have the ability to do it, if you've been kind of unharmed in this economics of the pandemic, to write the check to the athletic department, because we really do need it. And there's probably been never a time in my career in college athletics where everybody needs it across the board, where private support is really going to make a difference. So those that do better by their private support and are able to rally their fan base quicker will have a huge advantage over those that don't, because there will be revenue declines. And so if you can mitigate some of that with your private support, then you have a chance of being better than your peers. And that's kind of our goal coming out of this thing.
Watson, let me move to Terry real quickly. Terry, you got one question for Chris?
Okay. Hey, Chris. I guess the one thing that I wanted to ask in terms of all this, you know, this possible merger between the Sun Belt and Conference USA, in terms of that, I guess you guys were formerly in the Sun Belt, and you've gone to Conference USA. If this happens, I mean, what would that kind of be like? I mean, would you consider it, I know you probably don't consider it a step back, more a step out of necessity, but can you just talk about that whole dynamic of a big, large conference like that?
Yeah, and I think it's easy to look at the maps and say, well, these leagues ought to get together, you know, and then when you start mining down, it's like anything else, when you start mining down into the detail, it becomes much more complicated. So if this conference has a bigger reserve fund than that conference, and you're in economic hard times, how do you divide that money up? You know, and then is it really worth the merger? What about TV contracts and those kind of issues? And so there's a whole myriad of issues that you really need to go through. And does it really help you in the long run to merge? And are there intermediate steps? Are there other steps besides the merger? And the American has talked quite a bit about, you know, kind of regionalized scheduling, particularly for the Olympic sports, where you know, there's a theory out there, which I love this theory, is that we don't play any Olympic sport regular season conference games. So we all schedule regionally, and then we go to our conference tournaments, and we seed each other by your RPI and have a really great conference championship where all kids can compete under the CUSA flag. When you look at the American conference, does it really make sense that Temple's volleyball team flies to SMU to play volleyball and for Old Dominion to fly to El Paso to play soccer? We've got all kinds of examples where we all fly over each other to play. So the three CFP conferences that really overlap each other are the American, the Sun Belt, and Conference USA. And so if you supplemented a couple more conferences in there to get some of your outliers, like the Temple example, there's probably 100 schools within a four-hour drive that Temple could probably play in that area, you know, for most of their sports. So they've got a whole range of choices. Old Dominion, if we cut a deal, and the Colonial was kind of the same way, they could go back and play a lot of the local schools and the Virginia schools. And if the Atlantic Sun was involved, that would particularly help your Florida schools with Florida Atlantic, FIU, Central Florida, South Florida, Stetson, and Jacksonville. So what I think what the easier concept is really kind of a regionalization approach to your Olympic sports. And I'm much more of a proponent of that. It gets less bulky. There's less ego involved. There's not really significant TV contracts to deal with. There's not revenue streams that really get impacted, and that might be a true expense savings.
Chris, let's do this. Obviously, we had limited time today. I'm going to get back with you in about a week and a half and see if we can find a day where both schedules work and we can get you on a little bit more, because for somebody who didn't have any answers, you sounded really good, like you do have a few. And I want to take advantage of that down the road.
All right.
Hey, thanks for doing this.
Good questions.
Well, you know what? We don't hear that very often.
Those were some of the best questions I've had in a long time, honestly. And it doesn't surprise me, knowing all three of you guys, kind of in your experience and all that. But those were really good questions, so it was fun for me to do.
Thanks for doing this. We got a promo waiting to happen out of those last few comments. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages. Foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency.
and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
The good folks at Sir Speedy of Music City are back on our show. James Warren, talk to me.
Hey, George, as we see businesses prepare to reopen, we're seeing them focus on employees and guest protection just as much as on making a profit and being back to normal. That's typical of this caring city and all of Tennessee. So we decided to use the materials that we use for signs to make acrylic shields, barriers, face guards, and floor graphics for safe distancing. Even throwing in some fun by putting logos on face masks and that kind of thing. That said, we're doing this for nationwide hotels, restaurants, as well as local businesses with two employees. Everyone is treated the same. We come measure, listen. We want to be good to our community and our customers, so we're pledging 5% of the profits of all PPE.
Hey, real quickly, MTSU has, Chris Massaro's probably done as good a job in Group of Five of getting other teams to come to Middle and play in football. He's got Virginia Tech September the 19th in Murfreesboro for, you know, you talk about a wish. You would wish that you could get that game in with fans because it would probably be the first true sellout ever in the new stadium. Vandy Athletic Director Candace Lee will join us to start the 3 o'clock hour, and then we'll carry Gary Bettman's press conference live at 3:30.